This is Radio Superior, 1956. A reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's go. Stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We'll bring you now inside the KUWS radio studio and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hey, all you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. Tim Michaels here at Rockin' Your World. It's a radioactive Friday, July 27th, 1956. Danny Anderson is sitting in for Lou Martin. He has the 6 o'clock news. The Happy Homemakers in with a few words on house power. And Faith and Begorda, the Colonel's in too.
Yeah, the new civil defense sirens will be tested for the first time. And compared to the Happy Homemaker and horsepower, I'll be the only interesting thing in your show.
Daddy-o's got it nailed. This show's going to be a train wreck. Maurice's is footing the bill for tonight's 6 o'clock news. Maurice's is having their summer clearance sale, including summer cotton dresses marked down from $8.95 to $5.99. Hey, it's your turn, Daddy-o.
All right, thanks, Tim, and good evening, everyone. Harrowing stories from survivors of the shipwrecked Andrea Doria. The 27-day steel strike is settled, and a strange object is spotted over Michigan. We begin our world report from New York.
This is Bill Cortez, International News Service. The saga of a thrillingly swift sea rescue is unfolding as survivors of the Andrea Doria disaster reach home. The steamer Stockholm, her decks crowded with survivors of the collision at sea with the Andrea Doria, docked this afternoon at the Hudson River Pier. The twisted, ugly wreckage of her bow bore mute testimony to the violence of the crash late Wednesday night in heavy fog off Nantucket. The sixth and last of the rescue ships to reach port, the Stockholm carried 530 passengers and crewmen of the sunken Italian ship, plus her own 535 passengers. So far, 7 people are reported dead, hundreds injured in the nighttime collision. The Andrea Doria went down with a 40-foot slash in her starboard forward side. The Italian liner was steaming back to New York from the Mediterranean, while the Stockholm was outbound, headed for Copenhagen. The Andrea Doria made her maiden voyage in 1953, and she had been considered almost unsinkable, the pride of Italy. She had the latest safety locks designed to make her compartments watertight. If the Stockholm had been following the track agreed upon in 1912 after the sinking of the Titanic, the Stockholm should have been at least 20 miles south of the location. Maritime officials say the Andrea Doria was traveling on the correct path. Both ships were equipped with radar. In Milton, Massachusetts, the director of the Air Force Blue Hills Radar Post, David Atlas, suggested that shallow blankets of fog, under certain conditions, can reflect radar beams like a mirror and may explain the collision. The scene at dockside as the rescue ships came in were emotional mixtures of exultation, relief, tears, chatter, smiles, and pain. Many of the Andrea Doria passengers were sleeping as the liner steamed through the murky mist, but others were dancing or sitting in the lounges. Almost all survivors were in borrowed clothing, and many were barefoot. There was no general panic. Crewmen arriving here had nothing but praise for the passengers. While there was generally warm praise for the conduct of the Andrea Doria's officers, one group of survivors accused the ship's crew of complete negligence at the time of the crash. It was signed by 90 persons. Fortunately, the sea was smooth, and the fog lifting was a miracle as the rescue work went on. 46 people remain unaccounted for. In New York, this is Bill Cortez, INS.
This is Dean Kallenbach in New York. There were 760 of them. Most were half-clad, some still dazed, and many were numb. Passport requirements were waived for their arrival. There was no need for customs. They had no baggage. Throngs cheered or wept as they arrived last night aboard the French liner Île-de-France. They had left Europe amidst the comfort and splendor of luxury liner Andrea Doria. They arrived haggard and worn out, survivors of the collision that sent the Andrea Doria to the bottom of the Atlantic. Major Richard Dilworth of Philadelphia and his wife were among the survivors aboard the Île-de-France. Dilworth spoke calmly of the crash. Quote, "We turned in around 10 o'clock. We were suddenly awakened and knocked to our feet." His wife said, "We must have hit an iceberg. It's like the Titanic." There was an immediate bad list, and when I opened the door to the hall, there was heavy smoke. We put on our life jackets and crawled to the boat deck. There, six boats were being lowered. We couldn't get any more into the water. We went down a rope ladder as soon as we could to the boat and hung on until the women and children were taken off the ship. About 4 a.m., we got into one of the last boats, and at 5:30, we were aboard the Ile-de-France. There was no panic and very little screaming, end quote. But passengers from lower decks recalled screaming, fighting, and terror as the big ship started to go down. 39-year-old Charles Anino, a former Chicagoan now living in Italy, recalls, quote, "The hallways and stairs were jammed with screaming people. They were pushing up as others pushed to get down. When I got to the lifeboat carrying our baby, a man tried to shove me out of the way. We made it, though we lost everything we had," end quote. Two nuns of the Dominican order told about how they soothed some crying children and began to recite the rosary, quote, "We said the rosary for the passengers, and they seemed grateful." In New York, this is Dean Kallenbach.
This is Malcolm Brown in London. Diplomatic relations between Egypt and the British and French governments reached a crisis today over Egypt's seizure of the Suez Canal yesterday under a nationalization decree. Egypt's President Gamal Nasser announced Egypt was expropriating the 120-mile canal and would use the revenues to finance the Aswan Dam. The French foreign minister called in Egypt's ambassador and protested the action in what informed sources called energetic language. Relations between France and Egypt are described as at a breaking point. Egypt's ambassador called the French foreign minister's words inadmissible and unacceptable and says his government would have to reconsider its relations with France. British Prime Minister Anthony Eden told a tense House of Commons that nationalization of the so-called highway to India has created a serious situation which would have to be handled with firmness and care. The canal is a major channel for Middle East oil. This was reflected on the Paris market with a $6.50 drop in Esso standard stock. Eden remains silent on suggestions by some members of parliament that Britain might have to use force against Egypt. He says his government is considering stopping shipments of all British arms to Egypt. Eden says his government is consulting with other governments, including the United States and France. Australia and Italy also say the Egyptian action might restrict free use of the canal by world shipping. In London, this is Malcolm Brown.
The State Department announced that a defense undersecretary is flying immediately to London to join in British-French talks. Secretary of State John Foster Dulles is in Lima, Peru, but President Eisenhower is summoning him back to Washington. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Now, Tim Michaels has this message from Maurice's.
Hey, Maurice's is having a big three-store clearance summer fashion sale, and it's going to be going on all day Saturday. Our loss is your gain. You can save plenty now on Maurice's quality fashions, all gathered together in Superior from Duluth and Virginia stocks, all drastically marked down without regard to original costs. With two summer months still ahead, take advantage of this rare opportunity for savings and come scoop up the fashion bargains of the season. A couple of examples: summer cotton dresses, $5.99. Linen and beige cotton skirts, $3.99. Sleeveless cotton blouses, $1.49. And also, better spring and summer coats at only $24. Don't miss the big three-store clearance sale, open all day Saturday. Maurice's at 1227 Tower Avenue, Superior. Denny?
The nationwide steel strike was settled today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Good evening, Denny. The agreement is for a three-year contract, a 45-cent per hour increase, and automatic wage adjustments for cost of living increases every 6 months. The 12 major steel companies released a statement with the union in which they hailed acceptance of the first three-year no-strike labor agreement in the history of the industry. Here at the head of the lakes, the remark, "Fine, that's good," was making the rounds of railroad, ore dock, and steel company offices in Superior and Duluth this morning when news of the steel strike was first heard. Quoting Great Northern Superintendent E.F. Oviatt, "We're very happy." Mr. Oviatt says it will be just a question of sitting tight until the men are notified to return to work. Two ore vessels, the Sherwin and the Colby, have been berthed in Duluth for the 27-day strike. They already have crews aboard. A spokesman for the U.S. Steel Works in Duluth says it will take about 4 days after the men start returning before the Morgan Park plant can be back in production. He added that the mines on the Iron Range in Upper Peninsula of Michigan should be back into operation about 24 hours after the return of the miners, Denny.
Thanks, Mike. Duluth's 109-year-old Civil War veteran Albert Wilson the last survivor of the Union Army, lies unconscious in St. Luke's Hospital. Hospital officials report that Wilson is failing. He has been hospitalized for the past few weeks with a lung ailment brought on mainly because of his advanced years. He's been hospitalized several times this year for lung congestion. A brilliant light in the Michigan sky is puzzling the Air Force. Rich Kremer reports from Cadillac, Michigan.
The first report was received by Sergeant Willard Irwin of the Cadillac Police Department from Willard Wood, who says the object was moving north toward Cadillac. Wood told the sergeant that the object resembled a light bulb with clear glass or sunlight off the windshield of a car. He thinks it was 2,000 to 4,000 feet high. Sergeant Irwin dispatched two patrolmen who reported the object as moving in circles and approached and withdrew several times during the two early morning hours they observed it. They say it was definitely not a star. The patrolmen say they also interviewed three Illinois tourists who saw the light. About 40 minutes after the last star had disappeared with the morning light, patrolman John Langley reported the object moved into the distance and disappeared. None of the observers were able to define its size or shape. This is Richard Allen Kramer in Cadillac.
And that, Tim, is the Maurice's 6 o'clock news.
Thank you, Dennis Anderson, in for vacationing Lou Martin. The mothership has apparently called Lou home.
Lou says it's about time. It's becoming too weird on Earth these days.
Hey, tell him to stop on by. Looks like the weather will be nice for newsmen and aliens alike. The scoop from the Duluth Weather Bureau is slightly cooler tonight. Low of 48, sunshine Saturday with a high of 72. Let's kick off with what looks to be like the rookie of the year from Memphis. Here's Elvis and Elvis Presley and Don't Be Cruel Baby on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
You know I can't be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please telephone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Baby, if I made a mad, something I might have said. Please, did I forget my past? The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want no other love, baby, it's just you I'm picking up. Don't stop thinking of me, don't make me feel this way. Come on over here and love me, you know what I wanted you to say. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Why should we be apart? I really love you, baby, cross my heart. Let's walk up to the preacher and let's say I do. Then you'll know you'll have me, and I know that I'll have you. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want no other love, oh baby, it's just you and me. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want no other love, baby, it's still you I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah, the hottest of the Hot Wax Babies, released 2 weeks ago with Hound Dog. That's Elvis Presley, Don't Be Cruel, on Kickin' KUWS. Now this message from Superior Water, Light, and Power Company by two respected customers. Okay, guys, go ahead.
Hasn't he heard there's no excuse for blackouts?
Well, unless it's bathtub gin during prohibition.
We're one line into this, and you're already ad-libbing.
It's an ad, isn't it?
I'm waiting for you to read the line.
Give me your line again.
Hasn't he heard there's no excuse for repeated blackouts?
Yet it happens again and again. Just a flick of a switch and the place is dark. Shin-cracking dark. What on God's green earth is shin-cracking dark? I need to know. What
you stumble around in the dark and smack your shins.
No, I don't. That's just dumb.
We're going to have to cancel the Happy Homemaker if you guys don't get on the stick.
It's a fright for little Sue, and a nuisance for Mom, and no fun for Dad, either.
I'm not following you.
The shin-cracking blackout. It scares little Sue and makes Mom mad. If you just read your lines and don't think this will go much better.
They're lucky, because the same lack of house power? I think they mean horsepower. There's no such thing as house power.
We're never going to be asked to do this again. There goes 25 cents right down the drain. It'll be like the debacle with the Robinson florist ad. They didn't ask us back because you ad-libbed about red roses are for sissies and dandelions are as good as daisies.
Well, I like dandelions. Anywho, the same lack of house power that caused a sudden blackout means overheated wires.
And their wiring could never carry the extra load of all those new appliances Mom would love to have.
My mom never had appliances. She was a mom's mom. Cooked, washed, cleaned, all by hand. Appliances, they're for slackers.
I'm sure your mother was wonderful. But we've got to finish
this
act.
Please, please, finish this. And the happy homemaker says you should be ashamed.
Sounds like an unhappy homemaker.
I'm finishing this. 80% of America's homes have lousy wiring, yet modern wiring is moderate in cost, can be installed without muss or fuss.
Hey, I wanted to say muss or fuss.
You lost that privilege. It can be paid for on time, and you can't live the way you want to without modern wiring.
Because modern wiring demands modern living.
No, you blew it. It's because modern living demands modern wiring.
Sorry. See, the following superior electrical contractors, Belknap Electric, Benson Electric, Ross Electric Company, or phone EX45511 and ask for the house power desk. Even though house power is not a word.
You guys cook. That was great. And I'm sure they're going to love you at Superior Water, Light, and Power.
I'm spent. And we haven't even talked about that UFO.
UF what?
The Happy Homemaker's up next. Here's Ivory Joe Hunter. And Since I Met Your Baby, on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Since I met you, baby, my whole life has changed. Please you. I can.
Ivory Joe Hunter wrote, sang, and stroked the ivories on this new hit climbing the 1956 charts on Kickin' KUWS.
Now, welcome to Miss Lucille Horn, the Happy Homemaker.
Hey, the Happy Homemaker is the Cracker Barrel Lady.
A girl can wear two hats, you know.
But I'm hungry.
Well, I don't have any crackers. Here, have some caramel.
Ooh,
homemade caramel.
I'm in heaven.
At least that'll keep you busy for a while. Mrs. Horn, being a homemaker, is changing dramatically, and don't chew with your mouth open.
Mr. Anderson.
I meant Tim.
Oh, good thing. Well, you know, it all comes back to house power. Let's use the Colonel's mother as an example.
I'm a haunted man.
Compared to today's homemaker, she lived in primitive conditions, let alone her mother, who didn't even have electric lights or electric heat. Today, the automatic clock radio turns on the mixer. The dial tune range automatically starts the evening roast, and the refrigerator is busy defrosting itself. The electric dishwasher spews steam and heat. And on that non-peeling, scratch-resistant, wherever-invulnerable countertop sits a plethora of appliances that chop, stir, heat, and mix things from carrots to martinis. In the laundry room, the electric washer and dryer replaces the wringer that squeezes out the water and was a constant danger to your digits or long hair. The electric dryer replaces the clothesline and hours of work. One thing remains to be invented, though, and by gosh, I bet by 1970 or sooner it will be. Replacing that three-legged monster, the ironing board, with an automatic ironer. Oh, man, I can't wait for an automatic push-button ironing board. So, ladies, check your home for symptoms of low house power. Lights dimming or the TV picture shrinking when appliances are turned on. Blown fuses and appliances performing slowly are all signs of low house power and the need to rewire. Remember, modern living demands modern wiring.
Hey, that's his line.
Oh, that's my line.
You mean your botched line.
What gives?
What gives?
You're not the only one who can make a little extra from Superior Water, Light, and Power. Here, have some more caramels.
Here, all right. Thank
you. Mm-hmm.
Be careful on it. They're great, but they disable the mouth. I think I lost the feeling.
I'd like as many caramels as you can spare. They might come in handy around here when Tim gets talkative.
Thanks, Happy Homemaker.
Well, next time, we'll talk about a push-button automatic husband.
Cool. Time for a KUWS twin spin. Here's the Platters in My Prayer and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
When the twilight is gone, and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart. And here in my heart you will stay while I pray. My prayer is to linger with you at the end of the day, in a dream that's divine. In blue, with the world far away, and your lips close to mine. To know. may still be the same. For as long as we live,
KUWS Twin Spin with the Platters and the Great Pretender.
Oh, yes, I'm the Great Pretender.
KUWS Platters Twin Spin with My Prayer and the Great Pretender on Kickin' KUWS. Engineer Joe's favorite rock and roll scribe, Buck Ram, wrote that in a biffy at the Flamingo Hotel in Vegas. You gotta wonder what the inspiration was. Okay, Colonel, I know you're busting with the big news.
Get pen and paper in hand, people. Superior is going to test its new civil defense sirens next Thursday, 2 August 1956. This historic and possibly life-saving event is in our efforts to protect hearth and home. We'll begin promptly at 1820 hours.
That's 6:20 p.m.
Have another caramel. Caramels will do that, you know.
I think it's still in there.
Superior Civil Defense Director Lawrence F. Ryan will supervise, while Douglas County Undersheriff Louis Bannock, Director of the Civilian Defense Police Service, and his officers, along with yours truly, will observe from differing locations. It's important to note that these sirens are loud and, for children, scary.
Pretty scary for dogs and cats, too. To prevent Fido from tearing off down the street and Puss in Boots from scratching the daylights out of you, it'd be a good idea to keep pets inside and off your lap for the duration of the drill.
Good points. I got to remember to remind Mrs. Ravelly she's kind of getting kind of jumpy these days.
She probably needs more appliances.
This system of sirens is designed to give Joe and Jane Public time to go to the nearest fallout shelter.
These sirens are loud, 135 decibels, which designated the number of church or tower bells it would take to match the volume of noise coming from the horn.
Is that true, Denny?
No, it's a bell, but spelled with one L, and was first determined by engineers at Bell Laboratories. Right, Joe?
Yeah, right. Anyway, the dB level, as we engineers like to call it, increases tenfold in each increment of 10. See, it's logarithmic.
Wow. I've never had a glaze this thick over my eyes before.
What?
Except on Thanksgiving when they missed a turkey.
Let's turn up the dBs, cats and kittens, for the Colonel, the Spaniels, and good night, sweethearts, on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Good night, sweetheart. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you. I really must say, oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. Well, it's 3 o'clock. In the morning, baby, I just can't get right. Well, I hate to leave you, baby. Don't mean maybe, because I love you so. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you. I really must say, oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. Mother, oh, and your father, like it if I stay here too long. One kiss in the clock, and I'll be going. You know I hate to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you. I really must say, oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night.
From BJ Records, that's the Pookie Hudson and the Spaniels' 1954 hit Good Night, Sweetheart, on Kickin' KUWS. BJ Records was the first big independent black-owned record label, and the Spaniels had BJ's first hit. Okay, you characters, what's the deal with that strange thing over Cadillac, Michigan, in Denny's news?
I don't know. What did you call it again?
An unidentified flying object. UFO, essentially. They are proof that we're not alone in this universe, that alien life exists on other planets, and they're probing space looking for planets like ours that can support intelligent life.
We're not too intelligent if we think there are aliens flying around looking at us. I mean, God created heaven and earth, and there's nothing in the Bible nor from the Department of Defense that says there are people on other planets.
Not necessarily people like you or me. I mean, they'd be different. Maybe with X-ray vision. Or big veiny heads that pulsate when they communicate with thought waves, so they don't even need a mouth.
That would be a blessing for a lot of people I know.
Anyway, there are clues from the eyewitness reports that we can glean information from. For instance, the strange light was over Cadillac, which means they've got good taste in cars. Then, the description of it looking like sunlight off a windshield, again, could be a Cadillac-type spaceship. That also rules out the possibility it was a star, especially since it was still visible at sunrise. It was not detected on radar, even though credible witnesses like law enforcement personnel, and this is impeachable, Illinois tourists, they never make up stories. And it apparently hovered, so it couldn't be a meteorite, and it was too bright for swamp gas.
On the other hand, it was probably Venus.
Or it could be Venus. It is pretty bright. Planets are sometimes mistaken for the mothership.
It just came across the wire. That's the official explanation.
For an incredibly brief moment, Skinny, you were trying to make sense.
I have my moments. I kind of like the unidentified flying Cadillac part, though.
Wow, you crazy cats just fracture me. And hey, Colonel, we'll have to do something special for that CD siren test.
Don't try anything funny there, McMike.
Time to cut out Cats and Kittens tomorrow night. The Saturday night TV lineup includes Gabby Hayes, my friend Flicka, the Lone Ranger, Gunsmoke, and Jackie Gleason. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and Venusians don't attack. Is there Venetians? Anyway, for Dennis Anderson, the Colonel, and Joe.
And Albert Wilson, Grand Army of the Republic, wherever you are.
I'm Tim Michaels, rocking your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1956, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players are Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Rich Kramer, Kathy Bergren, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1956 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
Oh, bye, bye.
A footnote about the sinking of the Andrea Doria. Like the Titanic that went down in 1912, the Andrea Doria was considered unsinkable. But unlike the Titanic, modern communications and a fast response saved the lives of most of her passengers. The two shipping companies settled the case out of court, so no official blame was ever registered between the Stockholm and the Andrea Doria. Later information indicates radar sightings were misread, probably by the Stockholm. 1,660 passengers and crew were rescued, while 46 people perished.